This morning, we'll be talking about a concert coming up Thursday at First Baptist Church in downtown Kalamazoo. Yes, it's the return of Octocelli. Mm-hmm. Octocelli rides again. And here are some of the familiar musicians from the group, Betsy Start and David Peshlakai, and Lori Jarski as well, who is new to our group this morning. So glad you could join us.
Thank you.
Betsy, Octocelli is featuring a number of your works. Maybe you could talk about or explain again what the concept of Octocelli is.
Well, the concept of Octocelli is to get at least 8 cellos together, which we do manage to do. And it's also, in order to rehearse a large number of pieces for a full program, we came up with this idea of the cello explosion, which starts with a single cello and then 2 and then 3. So we structure the concerts that way, starting with a solo. And I really don't know why so many of my pieces ended up on the program, but I'm absolutely thrilled about it. We were looking for a solo piece, and I just piped in with, I have an arrangement of Simple Gifts that seems kind of nice, a good way to start out. And then we're doing a multiple choice piece. David and I have done a couple of times that I wrote for a library concert, where I realized that I'd said we'll end this concert with the audience has an opportunity to help create a piece, and I thought, well, I better figure out how to do that. So that's the multiple choice piece. Okay. And then the Quatrefoil and the Seagull Blues will be also featured.
Is this a free concert?
Yes, it is free.
It's free. A free will offering will be taken at First Baptist Church this Thursday at 7 o'clock. For people who've attended it before, you can expect a whole group of different styles of pieces. Some of them can be very serious and sacred sometimes. You've played a Requiem before by David Popper. Mm-hmm. But you can also expect some great Americana like Gershwin or Harold Arlen, for example. David Peshlakai, you have an arrangement of Gershwin. Or rather Arlen, yeah.
The Over the Rainbow arrangement for a trio. Like Betsy said, it's an explosion concert, so we're always trying to figure out how to find arrangements and pieces of different ensembles, sizes, and finding the odd numbers, 3 and 5 and 7, are always the tricky ones. Cello quartets are pretty popular, and octets, amazingly enough, are the next best bet. But finding something for 3 is a little tricky. So, we had Over the Rainbow used, I think, previously for our movies concert. Yeah. And so I'm like, well, let's see if I can't make this for 3. So it ends up being a good number. This cycle is an Americana concert, and so we've got a lot of influences of America with 2, you know, living composers on our roster, and also, you know, Broadway movies, some funk, some the New World Symphony by Dvorak. Quite a range of influences on this concert program.
When the concert progresses and more cellists are added to the stage, I'm wondering if you have to carry your cello and a chair as you come out onto stage.
So we start with all the chairs and stands in place.
Oh, good planning,
But it does get a little tricky because, you know, by the end of the program, cellists are in a certain chair, but at the beginning of the program, they need to be in slightly different chairs.
So it's a little musical chairs.
So there will be some musical moving around, and that'll be our final rehearsals, figuring out, okay, who's sitting where and where I go after this. And it's always a little bit of an adventure in that regard.
Well, Lori, nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Would you tell me first about your background as a cellist and composer?
Probably started writing ever since I was 5, and just tinkering around on the piano, and then I did other things with organ, and started writing songs when I was about 10 or 11 with the guitar. I was a singer-songwriter guitarist. So I did a lot of my beginning training by ear and developing a sense of rhythm about things, and also kind of a musical voice or a lyrical voice. So it seems that I, you know, handle lyrical writing the best when there's a melody that kind of
kind of intertwines the whole fabric of the piece.
Yeah.
So when I came back to that after years of doing, you know, expressionistic stuff and five-note cell music at Western when I was in my graduate program, it was nice to kind of find my voice after that.
Right, right, to like find home music still there.
Right, and rhythms are huge for me. I like jazzy rhythms and interplay between voices.
Well, you mentioned piano and guitar and singing and stuff, but I'm concerned for when did you start the cello? Because you need to get started on that.
Yes, it's really late to the program with that. I didn't start till I was 16.
Well, so that's impressive. Yeah,
it's quite a journey trying to find my way.
A lot of the musical tools and concepts were already pretty well ingrained at that time. So
yes, I remember in high school wanting to be in the orchestra. I was always on the outside playing guitar for the orchestra for different performances. And I was like, I want to write music for the orchestra. The best way to do that is to be in the orchestra. And I had my eye on the cello since I was 9 when we watched a black and white film of this boy playing the cello. And I was saying, I would do that. I wouldn't do it side saddle. I would do it, you know,
guitar
the proper
style?
Way. Oh. No, the proper way. I wouldn't sit side saddle because in the 70s, that was not proper as a girl to, you know, not sit with your legs uncrossed. So.
Oh my goodness.
Well, that was back then.
It depends on where you learned. I know some people who were raised that way, learning from some nuns up in Canada, but certainly I learned the
right.
regular way.
This is the first time I've heard of this, where you can't prop the instrument between your legs if you're a proper lady.
Correct.
Well, yeah, I just thought of that when I was in the 70s. And matter of fact, my first cello professor, that's how she started with side saddle in the 30s and the 40s.
But it's about stability and having that instrument.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It is definitely an anachronism that
Yeah.
But it definitely was a process, you know, changing from a singer-songwriter guitarist to a cellist. And I find myself recently wanting to incorporate a lot of the guitar-like ideas into my cello compositions.
Well, that's a great setup for the piece that you'll be playing on Thursday, which is called Funky Blues.
Yes.
And requires 4 cellos to hold down a groove.
Right.
You'd have to say it's a groove. There's parts in between the beat that you have to get right.
Yes. The timing and conversation between parts. Sometimes they align and sometimes they don't. Yeah.
We have a recording of that, but if we're going to go in concert order, I would like to start with Simple Gifts, actually,
which
is the solo piece that will start the program. It's played here by Betsy Start, and the recording is a Christmas offering that came out just last year. A cello Christmas. Very cello Christmas. So if you didn't pick it up last year, there's always
a great
chance for a recording. Stocking stuffer this year.
I actually might need to print some more because I think I only have about 10 left.
Oh,
believe it or not.
Good place to be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is Simple Gifts from A Very Cello Christmas. It's Betsy Start. Elizabeth Start in that recording of her own setting of Simple Gifts, and it's for solo cello, but the concert on which it's featured becomes much more than a solo cello concert. We're talking about octocelli, so by concert's end, there will be 8 players?
I think
10.
Yeah. Oh. We got more than 8.
It's growing.
Nine or 10. Yeah.
Nine or 10.
We'll find out tonight at rehearsal. See who shows up.
Well, right now, do your best to name some of the other players. See if we can get most of them.
We have Ann Sherfield, who's in the Battle Creek Symphony, and also the Kalamazoo Philharmonic. James Alexander is a master's student at Western here. Liz Euchre, who is the education director at Kalamazoo Symphony. Obviously myself and Laurie and Betsy.
Ben?
Ben Goodbranson, who's an educator in the Kalamazoo Public School Systems.
Mm-hmm. Alice.
And Alice Carosas, who's also in the Battle Creek Symphony.
Mary Butler will...
Mary Butler will not be with us this time. Okay. We did a memorial... not a memorial.
A tribute concert.
Sorry, Mary. We did a tribute concert for Mary, and we're certainly looking forward to having her back whenever she wishes. But this cycle, she opted to not play with us.
Yeah.
So...
Maybe she'll cheer you on.
Hopefully we'll have at least one member of the audience cheering us on.
Exactly. We wear her out with our marathon rehearsals.
Yes.
Right.
Octocelli performs Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and we're looking at several pieces on the program. We can't touch on every single one. There's about 10 or 12 here. So after Simple Gifts... we hear a piece called Multiple Choice Duo, which you referred to earlier, Betsy. I listened to a little bit of this live recording.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the multiple choice comes in when you are leaving something up to the audience to explain.
Yes. Well, there are basically three segments of the piece, and there are two parts to the audience interaction. One is that when, say, for instance, we play the first two excerpts, they're to guess what sort of animals we might be trying to represent. And that's just kind of for fun. The music won't change. But hopefully they'll see the sort of animals that I'm trying to depict. And then they'll decide which of those animals they want to be the characters in the piece. And so then we pick that segment, and then we move on to, okay, are these animals traveling by this mode of transportation or this other mode of transportation? So of course I've written the second segment with both of the animals present, but we'll just go down one path and give the audience that choice, and then where is their destination? Are they, and I'm not giving away any of this, so if anyone's listening, you'll still get to guess at the concert, but there are two places that they could be going, and then once that's all figured out and we've heard these and the audience has picked, then we play the piece straight through.
Okay. So You spoke an introduction to the piece in the recording you sent me, but I cut it out and started right at the music. Uh-huh. So just give us a short introduction to the opening that we'll hear.
Okay. Well, the opening that we'll hear is just two segments where we're trying to decide what our characters are. There are either this type of animal or this other type of animal.
Okay. So let's see what happens.
Cats or birds? Let's take a vote. Cats?
Okay. Yeah. Birds. What do you think, guys? I think the birds might be winning. Birds won in Elgin, too. I don't know. Just so you know, those are the hardest ones for me.
I was going to say. Just so you know. We have a remote on this one.
Okay, and now our birds, and we can't have cats and birds together, so we had to choose one or the other. That would be a whole other story.
That'd be interesting.
I didn't write that music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to travel somewhere. So our birds are going somewhere, and we'll see if you... pick this mode of transportation out. Birds, yep.
Listening to what is a live recording from a library performance of Betsy Start's Multiple Choice Duo. And I have my own guess about the mode of transportation there.
but we'll leave it for Thursday night.
That's right. It wouldn't be fair. It's best to leave it for the live audience on Thursday at 7 o'clock at First Baptist Church. The concert is free, and it's another octocelli concert, which is... a group of what I thought was eight, but now can apparently expand up to 10 or 11 or who knows. And that was a piece we just heard by Betsy Start. The program continues with David Peschlikai's arrangement of Over the Rainbow. Beautiful tune. And you, as you mentioned before, you had to write a trio version because there just wasn't one out there.
Right. So we're moving from live composers to movie influences of Americana. And so it seemed like an easy fit as well. You know, again, three cellos, not much written for that. And then fitting as well into the Americana theme.
Who will be joining you in the trio?
So the trio will be James Alexander, Liz Euchre, and Ben Goodbrandsen.
Oh,
so
you opted not to play your own piece.
Yeah, I'm always looking for ways to get more people involved in other pieces. So, after a while, some of it sort of turns into the Dave Show or the Betsy Show. That's not kind of what the program is about.
Right. Looking for a good balance. Yeah. Well, I do have a recording to feature here of the tune. Of course, it's not a trio. It's a quartet version. Very short and beautiful. We'll hear, I think it's the Berlin Cello Quartet. I know there's a famous octet as well, but I believe this is a Berlin quartet playing Over the Rainbow. I'm with David Peschlikai, Lori Jarski, and Elizabeth Start, who are all cellists, and we'll be performing Thursday at 7 o'clock at First Baptist Church in downtown Kalamazoo. That's Over the Rainbow, Harold Arlen's classic tune. And on Thursday night, you'll hear a trio arrangement for three cellos by David Peschlikai, played by three other cellists. David, you're performing on the concert, of course, but not in the piece that you arranged. There was another cellist that popped into your head that you wanted to acknowledge.
Yeah, and he's going to be playing in Betsy's quartet piece, Quatrefoil. His name is John Mark, and he's a graduate student of Kalamazoo College.
Oh, yeah. And has been an active part of the music scene.
So, and he's actually a member of another cello ensemble that's going to be performing in...
They're going to be on New Year's Fest, the Grace Notes come back together. The alumni and current players are coming back together for New Year's Fest.
Well, fantastic. Well, we're talking about Thursday night at 7, and it is a free end-of-summer concert. This is the fourth annual, I think?
I believe so.
Yep. Yeah. Wow.
Well, Laurie, I'm going to put you in the spotlight again.
Okay.
Because we're here to talk now about the next piece on the the next piece on the program, which is Funky Blues.
Yeah.
I listened to this live recording you sent from a YouTube video, and you're performing in it with three other cellists.
Yes.
Are they colleagues?
Diane Winder, she's a professor of cello, and also she was the dean and the head of the music department at Eastern Michigan University. And then Rob Reed, he knew me when I was just starting out, and he's a fabulous cellist. He was the son of Russell Reed, our orchestra director and conductor at Eastern, and Kate Blaha, who I met through Diane Winder.
So, and we'll hear Diane on first cello.
Yes,
right?
She'll be on first cello.
Okay. And you're playing second.
I'm playing second cello. And originally when I wrote this piece, the goal was to write it for, I had some very gifted young cello students, and I thought it would be, I wanted to make it a fun piece for them to play, but they end up struggling with it, so.
A little too.
Yeah, a little bit adventuresome for them.
Well, maybe they didn't grow up during the funky 70s.
Right, yeah. And then I later shared that with Diane Winder, who's been a long friend of mine since the 90s, and she said, this is a really good piece. We should premiere it properly.
So it ended up on a recital.
So it ended up on a Now Music Fest that actually was honoring my first composition professor, Dr. Iannacone. So it was kind of a surprise for me to have him hear my piece, too.
Oh, that's pretty meaningful.
It was awesome, yeah.
Iannacone, that is a famous name to me.
Yes, yeah. he's incredible.
Significant composer.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's about a 4 or 5 minute piece.
About a 5 minute piece,
Are there any special sections we should note before we hear it?
The beginning materials are the lead cellist, which David will be performing on this concert, is really the soulful part of the whole piece. And it turns out that someone came up to me after one of the latter performances where we incorporated a contrabass, which actually worked great for the fourth cello part, that they heard Korean folk melodies in the piece, and they said, did you study Korean folk music? And I said, no, I'm not sure where that came from. That really the first part of the piece wrote itself. It pretty much wrote it in like a day and a half.
Cool. Well, let's hear Funky Blues from this live recording with yourself, second cello, and we'll be back with Laurie Jarski, David Peschlikai, and Betsy Start, and talk a little more about the Octocelli concert coming up Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That was music I recorded from a YouTube video. Is it the premiere of...
That was the premiere of Funky Blues, yes.
Okay, well, you will hear a much better live version on Thursday in concert when you have when you're there with the musicians, mm-hmm. 7 o'clock. That's a piece by Laurie Jarski, who's in the studio with me here with David Peschlikai and Betsy Start talking about the Octocelli concert. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I like about this piece is, I like the groove to it, but it also seems to show off a lot of different ways of playing the cello that we don't always hear, that aren't always the focus.
Yes. I guess I like the drumming effects, so I incorporate a lot of the right hand, the collegno, which is with the wood of the bow hitting the strings, but then using the opposite hand, the left hand, to hit the strings and create a two-handed drumming effect, which is really fun to do once you get used to it.
Apparently tricky for her students.
Yes, a little bit tricky for them, yeah.
Yeah, this is what my mom tells me not to do to the cello.
Right.
Don't hit it.
And in this group, everyone was glad they weren't playing my part, which has a lot of it, a lot of the hitting.
You could damage your instrument somehow by accident.
I had to re-oil the bow recently, so it was in need of some help.
Yeah. But it is something that, we're always looking for the Octocelli concerts to make sure that we don't have a lot of cello wallowing happen on the program. You know, it's nice to hear cellos performing together, obviously, but having an entire concert of it can get a little bit...
You mean that just really soothing?
Exactly. Yeah, right. You know, too much of a good thing kind of
dark
thing.
Chocolate.
So yeah. So yeah. Having these, modern composers... writing, glissandos and percussive effects and vocal effects into the music is
refreshing.
It's very refreshing, and keeps the music alive and keeps, us, on our game as well.
Oh, goodness knows, Elizabeth Start is not afraid of going beyond, the golden cello sound. Mm-hmm. So there are two pieces we need to touch on here. The next piece on the program, Quatrefoil, and then a Seagull Blues, and they're both you penned both of these pieces.
Yeah, well, the Quatrefoil is a cello quartet, and that was written actually for a Chicago Cello Society festival back in too long ago, and I'll get embarrassed if I say when it was. But it does have a beautiful cello melody that I wrote while I was having my brakes being fixed, and I heard all the squealing in the background, and for some reason this one of the most beautiful tunes I've ever written came out of that. But it starts out with, it's got some kind of jazzy rhythms and snap pizzes and a little almost trio-like section with a lot of mixed meters and glissed pizzicatos and things like that. It's also a piece that we used to laugh about at new music concerts, that people never know when a piece is over because, new music can sometimes be so hard to grasp. But you know when this piece is over. And as a matter of fact, the recording of it, there's actually applause that overlaps the final note, which our recording engineer got very upset about because they ruined my piece.
But that tells you the audience was ready.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, then Seagull Blues is a piece that I wrote. Actually, originally, I believe, again, this is distant memory, but I believe that I was writing it initially at the suggestion of Grace Field, I think, that there were four adults in Kalamazoo who played cello and had a child who played cello. And so the idea of having a piece that would, an octet, that would have, four more advanced adult parts with shadow parts in the other for the younger people, somehow that never came together. Maybe somebody moved. I don't know what happened. But then I ended up finishing it up at a camp I was teaching in Rockford, Illinois. And the kids actually named the piece because I hadn't thought of a name yet. And I used the seagull sound, which comes from the voice of the whale, George Crumb's voice of the whale. And that's in there, and the kids love that sound. And then it's very bluesy. So and it has a lot of slapping, and you get to spin your cello once, just once.
And stomp the floor.
And stomp the floor at the end, yeah. So,
For those who aren't familiar, maybe explain that. George Crumb was a modern composer. Not R. Crumb is the cartoonist. George Crumb is one of the biggest names in mid-20th century.
Yeah, and you know, really avant-garde, you know, new techniques, new ideas, lots of looking at the new sounds you can make on an instrument, and maybe even if it takes amplifying it so that you can hear it, like the Black Angels for string quartet. So there are things like that that he kind of released us to explore further.
Released us to explore.
Amplified vegetables.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and it's so iconic, the seagull sound. All you have to do is tell a cellist seagulls, and they know what to do, how to do it.
And he pioneered that
idea.
I'm talking with Betsy Start, David Peschlikai, and Laurie Jarski about Octocelli's concert on Thursday at 7 o'clock at First Baptist Church. It is a free program. A goodwill offering will be accepted to defray some of the costs. So it sounds like most of the cellists appearing on Thursday are, besides being professional cellists, also do a lot of teaching. So I'm wondering if, you know, after 4 years of putting these concerts together, you have seen the pieces that you worked up go on to get used with student ensembles, or, you know, see them spread around a little bit, because you all have that influencing power as teachers.
A little bit. I teach at Hillsdale College, and I'm blessed with a very large studio there, and I always make sure that each semester there is a cello ensemble portion on the studio recital. And so going through the repertoire that we have with Octocelli has sort of given me some options and ideas as to, you know, what can my students do, you know, because I've got firsthand experience with these concerts, with the music, and saying, okay, this would be a good fit for so-and-so, or this would be a good fit for so-and-so, or, you know, that you can do this in two rehearsals, or you can do this in four rehearsals, or whatnot. So, it is good in that regard. Mm-hmm. There's so much music out there and that it's going to be impossible to even tap a tenth of it in our lifetimes, it seems.
Right. my quatrefoil, I think, has made it down to Houston now, because at the concert when we were honoring Mary Butler, of course, her son Jeff, is a cellist down there, was up here playing with us, and he kind of liked it, so I sent him the PDFs, and says if they ever get their cello ensemble going again in the symphony, they'll look at it. So
great example.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the funky blues may end up.
Right.
Who knows?
I mean, it is a fun piece to play.
And you can also store up ideas over the whole year to suggest when it comes time to put this concert together. I bet you have next year's planned already, because you had so many.
It's still germinating.
Certainly some ideas, though.
Yes. We're looking at some pieces, but we're trying to figure out a central theme for the concert.
Well, I found a recording of the Largo from the New World Symphony by Dvorak. And this is an example of that classic cello sound and repertoire. And it's actually not an octet, it's a sextet. So there you go. I can never find the exact version, but let's hear a little of this classic Largo from the New World Symphony by Dvorak, arranged for cellos. Music of Dvorak from a live concert by six cellos. We heard the Largo movement of the Symphony from the New World by Dvorak. And here in the studio with me today on WMUK are three cellists of about 10 who are appearing on Thursday night at First Baptist Church. They are Betsy Stark, David Peshlikai, and Laurie Jarski. And we've pretty much covered a lot of the program so far. Mm-hmm. That was what you would call cello wallowing, which I think is a little unfair because, you know, we all love, I love that sound of, you know, just beautiful harmonies. And
yeah, and it is certainly one of the key reasons to come to a concert of cello, yeah, is to hear, you know, beautiful cello sounds, that's for sure.
Things get changed up quite a lot in this concert, though, because we'll hear a set of variations on an old American folk song called Home on the Range that
This is a very fun cello quartet piece, and it's fits in with the Americana theme because of Home on the Range, of course, but tucked inside every variation is a major cello concerto or sonata or Bach quote
that every cellist has to learn.
And, yes.
Yeah, that every cellist has to learn. And every cellist gets to play in this as well.
You said all quartet, four, but I think...
All four. So we'll actually be doubling this one. So it will actually have all 10 of us on stage. we'll be playing the Boccherini concerto, Dvorak concerto, the Schumann fantasy pieces, the Bach suites.
All
Brahms
intertwined
sonata,
with the Home on the Range theme.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow, so I want to hear
all
that.
All in about, 5 minutes?
Yeah, right. It's a really fun piece.
Yep. It's a blast.
You're throwing in a bit of Hollywood music, some Hans Zimmer.
Yep, he's a pirate from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Gotta
so
have
again,
some of that.
Yeah, and there's nothing more American than Hollywood, it seems. So, and then as well, the Lone Ranger for the radio buffs and aficionados.
Well, yeah.
It's got the final part of William Tell. And you can't finish an American concert without Stars and Stripes. So mm-hmm. We will finish off with Sousa. And
do you have a secret piccolo player that's coming out? To
we do.
Oh. We disclose that?
No way.
It really happened?
Nope,
we do that?
Hopefully we will have a surprise guest, so okay. You'll have to see who that guest might be.
Yeah, because I have to play that piccolo part. I wouldn't mind a little doubling.
Right. Well, again, the concert is this Thursday at 7 o'clock. It's been really great to spend the hour with you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other last things we may have forgotten to mention? Parking is easy. The church is easy to find downtown on East
Great
Michigan.
Great acoucics.
Yeah.
West Michigan. West 315 Michigan. West Michigan.
Like I said.
No. Yeah. Right across from Michigan News.
Okay. Well, let's inspire some folks to get out there with the last part of the William Tell Overture, which we will hear in its original orchestral version to take us up to news from NPR. I'm Cara Lawrence. Thanks for joining us. Again, the concert by Octocelli is Thursday at 7 at First Baptist Church in downtown Kalamazoo.